Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now we're doing a study on Sunday evenings on how to be a more effective soul winner, how to share Christ with others more effectively. Now, we haven't gotten very far. We've done three studies on motivation, why we should do it. And tonight we're going to just look at something that I think is perhaps a little more practical. And the focus of this, or my goal, is to be practical, but a lot of times we don't do it because we feel so inadequate. And so tonight I'm going to try to address that a little bit, and just by helping us understand the three components of sharing Christ with other people. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? Now, we're jumping into the middle of what he has to say here, but we know that Corinth, they were in little factions of who they were following as their main Christian leaders. And so that's the gist of where we're jumping in when he says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered. Notice this, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and as we consider just a few simple thoughts tonight, Father, may it be an encouragement and a source of blessing to us tonight, that we might be more confident in being used of thee to share the gospel with others. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what we want to look at is just what really is our responsibility in sharing the gospel. When we go out to share the gospel with other people, what does God expect from us? Now, one thing we have to keep in mind before we even go anywhere with that thought is the interesting thing is that the Holy Spirit doesn't do his job of convicting and of wooing and bringing people to Christ apart from the human instrument. Very, very few people get saved all on their own. Probably 99.9% of the people that ever get saved because someone took the gospel to them. And God worked through that individual to lead that individual to himself. And so we've got to keep in mind that people won't get saved unless we allow him to use us in that ministry. All right, so as I said, there's three components to sharing the gospel. The first is the gospel itself, or the seed, which is the Word of God. Look back in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We're going to be looking at a lot of different verses this evening, so hopefully you can turn fast. Because I really will get us out of here at 7:30. Luke chapter 8, he is telling us a parable. The parable begins before this, about the sower in verse number 5, went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell among the wayside. And so it's the parable of the four types of ground. But in verse number 11, he says, now the parable is this, the seed, that which was sown, is the Word of God. And so when we understand what is the gospel, it is the Word of God. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I probably should have told you a long time ago to keep your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 because we will eventually be coming back there. But right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When we ask what is the gospel, God tells us what it is here in verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ, now here's the gospel in a nutshell, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And we understand that is the definition of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But if we say that's the gospel, we're leaving one thing off, aren't we? one, I believe, very important thing, according to the Scripture. You notice he repeats that twice. You see, when we share the gospel with other people, it is not our idea. It isn't our thoughts. It isn't the Baptist way of doing things or Baptist doctrine. It's what God has to say in His Word, the Word of God. We need to remember that about the message of the gospel. Now, the gospel is the seed. It's the first component in sharing Christ. We've got to stay on track. We've got to stay on focus. No one's going to get saved talking about the Ohio State Buckeyes, and no one's going to get saved talking about the Michigan Wolverines or even the Michigan State Spartans or whatever your favorite team may be. No one's going to get saved talking about those. Now, that might be small talk and an enjoyable conversation, but if that's as far as our conversation goes, they'll never get saved. They've got to hear from the Word of God that Jesus died for them, that He was buried and rose again the third day, all according to the Scriptures. We also need to confront them with the truth that that is a demonstration of God's love, that God loves them. There's a lot of people in this world today that don't believe anyone loves them. And more and more as we go on, as our culture gets further and further away from God, as children just don't feel loved by their parents and for different reasons, and I could tell you some stories, but I'm not going to take the time to do so, but we've got a whole generation that doesn't feel loved by their parents or by anybody else. But God loves them. And if we can get that truth across to them, that there is a God in heaven, and there is a hell to shun, and there is a God in heaven who loves them enough to have sent His Son to die on the cross for their sin, so that they can have eternal life just by putting their faith in Him. But that salvation isn't just automatic, is it? You see, they've got to take it upon themselves. And it's nothing they can do for themselves, just like the punctured dollar bill. It couldn't heal itself. It needed some help. So do we. We need the shed blood of Christ to wash our sin away, and we need the substitutionary death to pay the penalty for our sin. And so we've got to share the gospel. The gospel is the first instrument, the first component of trying to win someone to Christ. Now, the second component is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. He does the work. All we are is the vessel. And of course, we're going to be the third component. We'll get there in a moment. But keep in mind that the Holy Spirit is really the one who's doing any work that's accomplished. And I think we all know that. Turn over, if you would, to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. As we're sharing the Word of God, the gospel, the seed to be planted, the seed to be watered, and the seed that we pray will bear fruit. The Holy Spirit is the one doing the work, the spiritual work, that needs to be done in the heart and in the mind of that individual so that they can go from a place of faith in works or faith in chance or faith in whatever it is, faith that there is no God, can take them from that point and take them to the point of having faith that Jesus died for their sins, not just the sins of the world, but their specific sins, and wants to save them. To get them there, the Holy Spirit has to do the work. And so in John chapter 16, beginning in verse number 8, and when He has come, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit is the one who's going to bring about conviction of sin. And oftentimes that work is done before the person trying to share the gospel with them even arrives. The Holy Spirit works in the heart. But now if we're not willing, they'll have the conviction for their sin and it'll do no good for them. It's not enough to be convicted over sin. That won't lead anyone to heaven. That just will lead them to a self-help book. It will lead them to something like AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, or some drug rehab program because they know the sin in their life. But they need to be pointed to the Savior, and these other places aren't doing it. You may say, well, Alcoholics Anonymous points them to the higher power.
but never defines that higher power. It's all left up to the imagination of man. But remember what the seed is? It's this book. It's God's Word. And so we need to take the gospel to these individuals and let them know that, yes, they may be convicted of their sin, but the only hope they have is in Christ. And then he draws the sinner to himself. Turn back a couple chapters in John to chapter 12, verse 32. John chapter 12, verse 32. Jesus says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth." Now let me ask you this. Was Jesus lifted up from the earth? Yes, he was, on the cross of Calvary. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth," notice this last phrase, "will draw all men unto me." Now, notice it doesn't say, "And I, if I be lifted up, will have you draw all men unto me," talking to the disciples and then to us as their representatives. He doesn't give us that responsibility. He doesn't give us that task. He says, "I'll take care of it." He says, "I'll do it if you'll let me." But you've got to go out with the gospel, with the Word of God, with that precious seed, and share the gospel with them so that when God is working on a heart, they have the right response, they have the answer, they have the solution to the conviction that they're feeling in their hearts. And so he's the one who draws the sinner. He's the one who reveals Christ as their Savior. And then he is the one who brings about regeneration. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." You see, we can't regenerate a single individual, a single soul. We can't do it, but God can, and God will, and he wants to. The Bible tells us he's not willing that any should perish. And so he's looking for people that are just willing to go out and share the gospel. Now, sharing the gospel may be handing out a gospel tract. It may be verbally saying, "Look, Christ is the answer to the problems you're having in your life. They're all related to sin. And Christ's blood will wash that sin away, and you can have eternal life. But we've got to go with the seed, and the Holy Spirit will do all the work if we'll just go." Now, let's look at the third component. The first is the gospel, the Word of God, and Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, all according to the Scriptures. The second component is the Holy Spirit, who is the worker, the one who gets things done. The third component is the human, or the human instrument. We are the bearers or the ambassadors. Now, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, specifically in verse number 9, after simply casting himself and Apollos off of the pedestals that the Corinthian church had placed them on, telling them that we are nothing. We have just done what it was our responsibility to do. We have only performed the work of a servant or of a slave in planting and watering and tilling the ground. He says, but it's God. It's God who gives the increase. And then in verse number 9, he says, we are laborers together with who? Is he saying Paul and Apollos are laborers together in the harvest field for souls? Is that what he's saying? No, he says we're just laborers together with God in the harvest field. And so we're just laborers, nothing more. No one is anything in the gospel ministry without Christ. We can do nothing. And we have a tendency in our culture and the way our minds think to put people on pedestals. And God says, don't do that. He says, if you're going to put anybody on a pedestal, put me. That's what God says. He's the one who should be worshipped. He's the one who should be held up high. He's the one we should follow. Now, we follow other men only as they follow Christ, but we are not infallible. No man is. We all make mistakes, whether it's intentional or unintentional. Boy, I was full of mistakes today. I think I got my whole month's worth done today. This morning I announced Beth and turned out to be Beth and Stephanie doing special music. And then I told the people that came in for choir that we weren't having choir practice because Aaron had to go get Chelsea and Brother Scott was out on the bus. And lo and behold, guess what? Brother Scott got back in time. I should have changed my sermon to lying, but then I'd have to hit the altar before I got done, so I had to go back to what I originally was going to do. And then I announced Stephanie for special music tonight. I'm not infallible. I wish I was. It'd be really cool. I'm glad Amy's in the nursery and can't hear me. And she's laughing. Uh-oh. I shouldn't have admitted it. But anyway, that's why we don't follow men, or we only follow men as they follow the Savior. But you see, it's the Savior we should have our eyes on. Look over in Hebrews chapter 12. God tells us this very clearly. He talks about the race that we're supposed to be running for Christ. He talks about the race. But in verse number 2, he tells you as you run where your eyes should be. You see, a runner, if they're a good runner, if they're trained well, and if they're successful, they're not going to look behind them at what obstacles they've overcome. They're not going to look beside them at those that are running the race with them, but they're going to be looking towards their goal line, towards the finish line. And here's where our finish line is, or our goal line in the Christian race. Verse number 2, looking unto whom? Jesus. We don't have to read any further. I think that says enough. We've got to learn to look to Christ. He is our goal. He is the one that we're to follow. We're just laborers. We're just the human instrument. And we have a great privilege to be used by Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, in the harvest field of souls. And He's begging and He's pleading and He's asking, who will go? Whom shall I send? He's waiting for someone to raise their hand and say, even though meekly, here am I, send me. Even though it may be cautiously, and even though it may be nervously, here am I, send me. He's looking for one, just one, who will join Him in the harvest field, because He told us that the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Will you be a laborer, realizing that the Holy Spirit will do the work as we share the seed of the gospel, the word of God, that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And just offer yourself as a human instrument this evening. Father, we thank You for Your word. Father, there's so much we can learn on the subject, but we're just so grateful and tickled that You would use us to do the work of Your kingdom. Father, I know it took a man to bring the gospel to me, and I'm so glad he did. Father, help me now to be willing to take the gospel to others, that they too might be saved and escape the fires of hell and be welcomed and have that assurance of an eternal home. And Father, may each of us have the willingness to simply say, here am I, Lord. Send me. I don't know how many people I might come in contact with, but help me to be faithful to share the gospel with those You send my way. Well, thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.